Welcome to another episode of Erp Chirp, a podcast by Albertans, about Albertans, but for all Erpers. I'm Erica Ensign.
I'm Annette Weirstra.
And I'm Kirsten Gork.
And we are here today to talk about Season 4, Episode 3, Look at Them Beans, which is a title I adore. I think the first thing that I have to say is vacation is over, assholes. It's time for a holiday.
I want a bumper sticker that says that or something that I can just wear with deep pride.
Oh, yes.
Such a great line, especially since we haven't been around to record an episode for a while. I was like, this is the perfect way to start the podcast. Yep. Yeah,
I feel like it's always time for a holiday.
Uh-huh. I feel like the first two episodes were very table setting. Like, you know, we had to find out what was happening in the garden, and then we had to, you know, get back home. And now we're really starting to sort of sink into the season and figure out what the heck has happened. To some extent, obviously not a whole lot. Kirsten, what are your initial thoughts and feels here?
You know, it's funny, when we started season four, it felt like a homecoming, and this episode in its own way kind of felt like a different kind of homecoming, because it was really like, you know, you're back in purgatory, you're dealing with all of these crazy side characters, and we got to meet a whole bunch of new ones, and wow, do I have some feelings about some of them. I don't even know all their names yet. I can't remember, but like, they made me feel some things. I think the biggest thing for me was I never believed that Nellie was dead, because they wouldn't do that to us. Mm-hmm. We would revolt in like the biggest way. So I was quite pleased that, you know, he was not taken from us too soon. I just felt like this one, what I love about the show is the momentum. And I find every episode so far the season has had really great momentum and pushing us forward. And yeah, this one kind of set a whole new scene for, I assume, maybe at least a couple episodes will stick with this. You never really trust what they're going to do with this show. But I just felt like there were some amazing zingers. There were some great lines. There was some great character chemistry going on. And I just really, really loved it. And I felt like the whole mood, like the lighting and stuff, and it just like really evoked a lot of feelings in me this time around.
So many feels. Annette, do you have initial feels, or do you want to jump into talking about some of these new characters?
Well, I just think it's like another case of flipping the table on everything. Mm-hmm. So you come back home and you're kind of ready, like, oh, we're home, we finished something. But immediately nothing's right. Nothing feels good. You throw in a whole new cast of characters, a whole new cast of like ton of new problems that we have to solve. And it just hits the ground running, and you're just like, I have no idea what's happening or what's going on or what we're going to do. Except I do, because I've seen it. But, you know, it's just, kind of fun, because you just don't know where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt like this is the getting the band back together episode, and that felt good to do that. But at the same time, like, something is definitely wrong with Nicole, and it was threaded all throughout the episode and highlighted, I think, even more toward the end of the episode. And that is just like, it's like this beautiful melodic chord, like this chord that's being played, and then there's like one note that's just like a little bit off, and it's just like, oh no, what is it? What does that mean? I don't know, except I do, because I've seen it. But but yeah, so it was, I had some of those same feelings, but let's talk about some of those new characters. So the first one we saw was Sheriff Holt. What are your feelings about him as a new character, Kirsten? Oh, the face she's making right now, you guys.
She's making a face.
He did not make me feel good things. I recognize the actor, and I'm afraid I don't know his name, because we don't do our homework and we don't check things
We just jump right in.
But I definitely recognize him from other Canadian stuff, which is always exciting. You know, we always love, as Canadians, to point out when we see, you know, actors appearing in more than one thing. he didn't really stick out to me too much. I feel like there was so much else going on, and these really vibrant other characters. But I did pick up, there is that exchange between him and Nicole in Shorties, that I was kind of like, oh, I just hate you on principle because of the way that you're treating her. And, you know, you're disregarding her fears and, you know, making fun of the fact that, you know, Valdez is back home on the homestead by herself and she might actually be in danger, but he doesn't seem to care. So he gets like a 0 out of 10 for liking him. Other people might be a negative, but he's like a 0.
A negative. Okay. Who gets a negative?
Cleo.
I thought so.
I mean, like I said, I have serious respect for her as like a bad person, but I hate her.
I hate her.
And she's like a minus 20.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's tough. How do you feel about them at this point, Annette?
Well, I think I said in our chat when we were watching it, it's like Cleo is the anti-evil Winona. So she's also quippy and little pervy and a little bit of a walking disaster, but evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
instead
that's
of
true.
Like, she's chaotic evil instead of chaotic good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
With a megaphone, mm-hmm. which I yep. also feel like if yes. Winona had a megaphone, she would use it.
Yep. Yep,
she totally would.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she would possibly not wear panties and jump up on a desk.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like yep. use a t-shirt cannon as a weapon to hit people in the nards.
I mean, come on, who doesn't want to do that? Right?
It's like you put a t-shirt cannon in a small room, we're going to start hitting people with it.
I know.
It's
those are the rules.
And there were two t-shirts in that cannon when she did that, so I noticed. It's just like, oh man, ow. At least it looked like there were. Yeah, I did. Since we are doing this podcast not in person style and we're doing it on Zoom, I was able to actually look up the names of the actors. So it was it's Ty Olson who plays Sheriff Holt. Holt okay. or Hoyt, I'm not sure, because it says Hoyt on IMDb, but it said Holt in the credit in the captions.
Oh.
So I am not sure. IMDb is really not to be trusted. So anyway, let's hope it's actually Ty Olson that's the actor, unless they got that wrong. And then Savannah Basley as Cleo, who I think I hated her without respecting her. because I mean I am more on the lawful good side of things to neutral as opposed to chaotic, so the chaos even Winona's chaos is sometimes a little bit too much for me. So Cleo is very very big and it was a lot.
I think go ahead.
Nope, that's it. Go for it.
I was going to say, I think why I respect her is they talked about how, you know, she showed up in the middle of all this chaos and she took charge and made things work for herself and mm-hmm. made herself the magistrate. And I think like there's that's a true. Bit of respect there for someone who's like, you know, I would never do that, but I can respect someone who's like villainous enough to recognize an opportunity. It felt very Bobo to me in a sense, like Stone Ridge or Bobo, where it's like, there's a situation
vacuum.
Going on that I can mm-hmm. take advantage of it. You bet your bottom dollar I'm going to do it.
Yep. Yep, that's true. We also got Andrew Fung as Casey, as Winona's cellmate. I was so excited. I love him
Yay!
So much.
Mm-hmm.
So cute.
Yeah.
We love
and
him.
And like an actual Calgarian. He is proudly from mm-hmm. Calgary. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, yeah, nice. Getting a local boy in there. And I love him in Kim's Convenience. That's the thing that I know him from the best. Mm-hmm. And he was it's a very similar character, actually.
Yeah. I was
even
calling
his
him
hair,
Demon Kimchi.
Which makes sense because, you know, he's also filming Kim's Convenience, or he probably was. So mm-hmm. can't really change the hair, but.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was great.
And he has a new Canadian show that's coming out in the fall, I think.
Oh, really?
Ooh. From CBC called something about the burbs, but it's about him being a dad in the suburbs.
Oh, I'm gonna watch the hell
so another
that.
Like little sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Not being a sitcom fan and not like the whole dad thing doesn't appeal to me, but I love him so much I'll probably watch it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and he's a dad to two boys in real life.
Oh,
that he's very cute about.
Yeah,
so it's probably like really
adorable.
Coming out of his life and experience. Mm-hmm. So he's a very cute dad.
All right. Oh, that's adorable.
Side trip.
Uh-huh. Well, speaking of side trips, there's a new bar outside of town. And
you only live infinity.
Yes.
You only live infinity.
Forever, I would guess. You mm-hmm. only live forever. It's the Demon Bar.
It is. What's the actual name of the bar, though?
Like, Glory Hole.
It says Y-O-L.
That's right. No, that's a sign. Those are the signs that are up everywhere, but it's the Glory Hole. That's it. That's the name of the establishment.
So.
That's the name of this latrine, I believe. It's the actual Oh, so yeah, a demon bar that is run by Amon? I don't remember how he pronounced it.
Yep. I think Amon.
Oh, wow.
Hot. Just hot damn.
Real hot. Yep. And those scenes between him and Nock. Oh, boy.
I think I dropped my phone. I stopped texting you guys because I'm pretty sure I just dropped my phone during that exchange at the end.
Yep. Yeah, it was, that was something. I have mixed feelings. Well, I mean, I didn't have mixed feelings about Doc becoming a demon and becoming a vampire. Still angry about that. I think my feelings are a little more just on the mixed side that, like, at the end, he's just going to work for the demons in town. But then again, we had, you know, Andrew Fung's character is half demon, and I love him, so I don't know.
Yeah, but he didn't, like, it's the whole Doc choosing to become a vampire.
Yeah.
It just still, like, is annoying.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why I'm like, you can go and, like, get it on with this guy, because I'm not as invested anymore in Doc and Wynonna getting together as I used to be.
That's
because of the vampire thing, where I'm like,
yep,
whatever, do what you need to do. We'll see how it unfolds. But I do not feel the same investment in them as the, like, a couple.
Yep.
Yeah. I also think him becoming, like, a rum runner, for lack of a better term, very appropriate for him. And, like, you know, jacking up the price and making it a deal that works for him. Mm-hmm. It's, I was like, yep. Again, respect for the business.
Yep.
The business side of things.
Yeah, you got to make money somehow. And I feel like there probably aren't a lot of employment opportunities when they are apparently penned in on all sides and the border is closed and only humans can get out.
So, yeah, that's that's a whole new thing.
Yeah, speaking of at the border.
His alignment is neutral.
Okay. That's true. Doc is.
You know, so he would, like, kind of play both sides. I feel like he's kind of a neutral. I don't know. He's definitely not chaotic.
No.
I think he's lawful.
Because he has too much of a moral
Because he's literally
code.
The law.
Lawful neutral.
He's lawful neutral, you know. He was working with the sheriff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, speaking of the border, look at who works at the border.
Why is Jeremy working at the motherfucking border?
I don't know.
It's a good question.
Like, of all the jobs that he could have, I don't understand. And I, the whole episode, I just was like, if I keep saying his name enough, it's like Beetlejuice and I will summon him.
It worked.
Screen, and it did work, but why? Like, is he better be someone's supervisor? He better not be the guy who's like gate up, gate down. Like, what the hell,
well,
man?
The woman who originally did she say I have to talk to my supervisor or my manager?
Yeah.
And then it was Jeremy that came out. So he's at least above one person in the hierarchy.
My gosh!
But you could tell when Nicole mentioned his name, she didn't say it, but her face said. She's pissed at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I kind of don't blame her. I mean, I love Jerbear, but he has some explaining to do.
Yeah, and she hasn't heard from him in months, but he's not, he's clearly not that far away, so.
Yep.
He's got some explaining to do is what I'm saying. Yep. But at least we know he's still alive, and as you said at the beginning, Kristen,
yes.
So is Nedley. Thanks, too, and I would like to point out what I am drinking right now. Kombucha. I was so excited.
Prevents everything.
I was so excited because I'm not doing it currently because time is finite, but for a very long time I did brew my own kombucha at home. So when Rachel's like, yes, I brew it myself, I was like, you go, girl. It's awesome. It's so tasty. I love it so much. And it does, you know, kill a lot of things, apparently, including puffballs that can infest your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm. Right? I just, that whole scene with the super soakers and the music and the slow-mo and my mom
just laying there all dressed up.
Yep, she's going, watching.
Idiots.
Oh, it was just amazing. Like, that's why I love this show. It's stuff like that just, like, really does it for me.
It was such a shift as soon as that song starts. Like, is that a song that was written for the show, or is that, like, a known Canadian song? Did you guys recognize it at all? Or
I feel like it's familiar.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't know what it was called, but it didn't seem completely foreign to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I had certainly never heard that song before.
Is it the Bean song? Because all the
titles are usually songs.
I don't think so, because I think the titles are all like country songs. And Look at Them Beans sounds very like old-timey country. Whereas it does.
Sitting around a campfire, eating some kidney beans.
Whereas this was more... like adult contemporary,
it's probably like Rush or something.
Oh God, it's not Rush.
Can you guys tell that we don't listen to like mainstream music? mm-hmm. mainstream Canadian music.
Well, it's classic, though. This isn't, it's not a new song that's classic.
Well, do we know, though? Because, I mean, here, I'm looking it up.
Because, I'm Googling it right now.
Are you? Okay, good, good. Okay, you
guys
find
Google,
that for
I'm
us.
I'm going to hydrate.
Yep, because I was just thinking, like, that was not an expected turn to go from the, you know, the normal background incidental music of Wynonna Earp. Like, it's good stuff, and it goes, you know, from appropriately tense to appropriately heartwarming and stuff. And at this point, like, it's appropriately tense because Wynonna is trussed up in the snow. And then suddenly we get this, like, 1980s style ballad music starting up, and I was like, what is about to happen? And it was literally just, it was a fight scene, but it was a ridiculous fight scene because you have, you know, Doc trying to lasso the monster and falling over Waverly's butt, and like they're laughing in the snow. Well, they're not laughing, we're laughing at them in the snow, and Wynonna's laughing at them and she's just watching. And it is like the most heartwarming scene in terms of the way that it is shot and framed and scored.
But it's, well, and it's like, this is the monster. Moment when they're back together, right?
It's true.
Yeah. Except we're missing Jeremy, but mm-hmm. you know.
But, yep. And yeah, the idea of filling a super soaker with kombucha to try to save the day is like a very Wynonna Earp sort of twist,
yes.
on things.
Armed with a t-shirt cannon and a super soaker.
It's so good. And it worked. And it worked because then you end up with a naked Nedley in the snow.
And then you have a t-shirt to put on him because your canon has one's to spare.
Yep. It worked out pretty great. Have you found that song?
I haven't. I found stuff like describing, but...
We should have Shazammed it in the moment. I didn't think.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Just too distracted.
Mm-hmm. I know.
With joy.
Yes. It was. Like, it was such a sense of joy because it wasn't just everybody's back together, but it's everybody's back together and they are working together and doing their thing. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
you got Doc with a lasso and Nicole's got
it's
a
like
gun
hope.
And yeah. Yeah. It was very sweet. And what a relief to have Nedley back. Like, that was, whew. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I was worried
well,
about that too.
I liked the line where Nedley asks, what happened or what did I do? And then mm-hmm. Wynonna responds, you survived. That's sort of
yeah.
all that matters. And I was like, oh, that hits, you know, March 2021, uh-huh. a year into a pandemic. And it's like, that's all you need to do, people. Just survive, man.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And also thinking about just the 18 months that were spent basically alone. It's not entirely clear how long Rachel has been there, if she came back right away and just decided to stay mm-hmm. with Nicole, or if she stayed in Monument for a while and then came later. But, you know, Nicole has been alone for a while and has gone a
yeah.
little funny. So
I think she said, like, Nicole's
all of us
alone
right now.
For a long time, which doesn't really quantify things, but it kind
yeah.
of gives you a
yeah.
sense that, like, there was definitely a period of separation there where Nicole probably came back
and
realized what had happened and was basically by herself trying to deal with everything and also
yeah.
mourn their absence and not know, like, trying to find them, but also keep things in control at home. And it's just, it's a mm-hmm. lot. Mm-hmm.
And even I think if Rachel was there, she's still alone. That's how I read it.
Yeah,
so even
that's
if
true.
Rachel is still there, she's still alone in that she's lost her whole kind of found family. And maybe she's forming a new bond with Rachel, but she's still missing Waverly, most importantly, but everyone else. So
yeah, one, it's a different relationship, right? Like, they joke about, like, no, don't make any mom comments or stop momming me, but it's clear they kind of do have that give and take, right? Like mm-hmm. it could be to Nicole that, like, while she's helpful, she's also just another responsibility, right? She worries mm-hmm. about Rachel, she wants her to be safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did find the song. It's called Here by Your Side by Ellis Naylor and Jeff Wells. I can't find very much information about it. It's listed under, like, 80s power ballads, but it also, I also see, oh, it's from an album called 80s Power Ballads, but it was released in, this album was released in 2017. So I don't know if the song is actually that old or if it was written to sound like an 80s power ballad. So anyway,
oh.
that is what it is. Maybe at some point we'll find a little more information about, like, if it's a Canadian song or if it's just something that they randomly found to put in here. But
yeah. Maybe when we can all reunite and are safely vaccinated, we can do a slow motion run in the snow.
Yes. And shoot super soakers at each other.
No, let's just drink some kombucha. How about that?
Okay.
I like that idea better. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Who have we not touched on? Oh, Mercedes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the girl who also survives no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Pretending to be a demon.
That was so her. Like, of yes, course,
totally.
She
would.
Like,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just make it happen.
And she looked very good. Like, I like that dress.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she sang, which, like, have we heard her sing before on this show?
No.
Mm-mm. I don't think so. I was quite pleased by her talent. Mm-hmm. As Annette pointed out, she walks out of what is clearly a curtained vagina.
Yep.
On mm-hmm. stage.
Yep, there's a vagina curtain.
Well, and then it is a glory hole.
It is. Yeah, that's exactly what the name of it does what it says on the tin. And then later we also have the cook-off that has very, you know, the sausages placed to look like a dick, which is on the aprons and on the t-shirt. It's like nice logo. This is a very 12-year-old humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good episode. Is there anything else we want to touch on before we mosey?
Satan.
Oh, that's right, the cook-off itself. Yeah, as a former vegetarian, I definitely have eaten my fill of Satan or Satan, or there are many different ways to pronounce it. I always pronounce it Satan because I thought it was funny. But yeah, you're not going to want to cook chili cook-off with that, I don't think. Unless it's rigged.
No.
Unless
you're cooking for non-vegetarians, I think mm-hmm. the best way to not win is to not put like your meat in it. Bacon is a wise strategy.
Yep. Yep. Although clearly Winona didn't know what she was doing. And like at the end, when Waverly tries it and says it tastes like peppermint butt. Like what?
Like what is in there?
What did you put in there?
You know what? There was probably a convenient bottle of peppermint schnapps on the bar. And she just a little of that because she has no instinct. Like Winona mm-hmm. is not a cook.
And also she didn't expect to win. I mean, it was rigged mm-hmm. against her, but.
She thought. Well,
so she thought.
What have you got to lose by throwing
apparently
in some
was
peppermint
schnapps? For her.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. I thought it was an interesting twist that Chrissy Nedley is the one who sort of kicks this all off by trying to do a citizen's arrest and get Winona hung for.
Hung?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was quite the opening. But it had like a nice sort of framing at the end, though, when. Mm-hmm. They sort of said, you know, we're sorry we weren't here when you needed us. And she really, like, you know, it was all of this, like, kind of get a little overclamped because it's true, right? As mm-hmm. much as people love to hate on the ERPs, they've really saved a lot of people's asses uh-huh. recently. And so they've come to mm-hmm. rely on them, even if they won't admit it. And so when they're not there, it's easy to hate them again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. And they felt deserted.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So it's, you know, having them gone for this long sort of... showed how important they are to the community in some ways, because boy have things changed and not clearly not for the better. Although I mean, at the same time, most of the town, it seems, has been evacuated by force, and many of the people who are left are demons or partial demons. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's definitely a purgatory is a different place. It feels different, especially with Shorty's being like not
macrame
selling booze
central.
And yes,
it's like so a much macrame tiki bar slash
like smoothie joint almost. I don't know, it seemed like it was all health food, like, and honestly,
and macrame,
like, what was the dish that was chicken broth? I was like, I would order that. Cock holiday
that was what it was.
Yeah.
Cock was holiday, like, well,
that I would totally order that because I think bone broth, chicken bone broth, is delicious. Just like kombucha. This episode was tailor made for my culinary taste, except for the chili
except
part.
For Satan.
Yeah, no, gluten and I don't get along very well, and the fact that Satan is literally like distilled wheat gluten, it's not good for me. As tasty as it can be, no. All right, well, I'm excited to continue on. We've only got a few more episodes before we are caught up and get to see things that are new to all three of us.
Yep. Three more episodes.
Kirsten, do you want to make any...
Is that all, really?
Do you want to make any guesses about what's going to happen?
I want to meet the troll who lives under the bridge. I guess it was a troll, Nedley. That makes me sad that there isn't actually a troll. Can there be a troll? That's what I want. I want a troll who lives under a bridge.
Sure.
And carries a really big spiked bat.
That could happen.
Just putting on my wish list here.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I want more Cleo because I think she's really interesting. And I find that she's a more interesting villain than Holt. Holt is just kind of an annoyance at this point.
He seems a little bland in his personality.
Yeah, like there might be more going on
there. But anybody would next to Cleo.
Yeah. Yes, this is true. Jeremy needs to explain what the fuck he's doing. So that better happen next. Where's Robin? I'm also concerned about Robin. I don't understand. No one has mentioned him.
Well, they mentioned him.
He was mentioned.
Yeah.
They don't address, like, Nicole didn't say anything about him, though, did he?
She tapered off. She's like, yeah, Jeremy, blah, blah, I haven't heard from him in a while. And Robin, and everybody just sort of looked pained, and then they let it drop. So I don't know.
That doesn't sound good. Maybe he turned into a troll.
He's the troll.
He's under a bridge.
He's under a bridge. Yeah, I don't know. That's all I got right now. I just want a troll, apparently, for some reason.
Hey, it's good to want things. It's important. All right. Well, I guess until next time, we will, again, not promise when that's going to be. It's going to happen when it happens. But I look forward to it, and it'll be fun. And until then,
lights out, bitch.